You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
And save her, let her believe it, get on her knees and pray her, then pray her, and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good, and it's so hard to do right when you do wrong, when I turn right, but you turn all the way, lele.
Henshaw, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima, energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Oh, we are so thankful that you joined us today. My name is Dr. Dawn Karima, and we are honored that you share this time with us. We are so blessed to have this time for a conversation. We have some good news, and I always love good news, and I want to share some good news with you. We have been really blessed to be honored as participants in the World Entertainment Awards for this podcast. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, we are just really blessed to be part of the World Entertainment Awards this year. We're very, very thankful. And I recently won my fourth Global Music Award for Classic Country. And it's for a song, Family Bible. I covered the country classic, and I am thrilled to have won my fourth Global Music Award. I won a Global Music Award last year in Bluegrass Country for God on the Mountain, and I have two other Global Music Awards for the Stars of Heaven and the Desire of Nations, and so all of that music is available wherever streaming music is available. We even have music videos on YouTube, and whenever you purchase our music, all of the profits go to our 501c3 to help us do what we do, like produce this wonderful show. So you're helping us. You're absolutely helping us. I also wanted to remind you of my very recent book, Mother of Nations, from Uttered Chaos Press, and that's available on Amazon or at utteredchaos.org. And we are thrilled that it was a nominee for the Author Elite Awards. And I have a brand new chapbook. Those of you who follow me on social media, you can contact me and get a copy of my brand new chapbook, The Sacrament of Motherhood. I love it. I love it. And so motherhood is my vocation, and I'm absolutely devoted to being a mother, and it is my highest and best call and use of my gifts and talents. So I am so thankful for all of this, and it's wonderful to have good news. It's absolutely wonderful to be able to share it with all of you, and thank you for your support, for your kindness, for your prayers, and for the donations and the sponsors and this network and everyone who makes this show possible. And for all of you who listen, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'd like to read to you a book that I didn't write, but it is a gorgeous book. It's a wonderful book. And it's by Sharon Lea, and it comes in several different versions. If you look up this book on Amazon, there are books that have versions for girls, versions for boys, and versions for all kinds of family. It's called Liam's Blueprints. And this copy is an IUI donor conception story for single moms by choice families. Liam's Blueprints. Liam was so excited about his first day of school. Earlier that morning, Mommy had surprised him with a set of colorful building blocks to celebrate the special day ahead. Liam loved building with blocks. Liam and Mommy walked hand in hand through the neighborhood, looking at all the houses. "Do you see that house?" Mama asked. "I was the architect who designed that house." "There's a gorgeous picture here of a lovely young mother and a delightful little boy, and they're walking hand in hand, looking at houses, and they're surrounded by animals and grass and flowers." Liam knew that Mommy was an architect, which meant that she used her imagination to create all the instructions for how a house should be built, like what it would look like, where the doors and windows would go, and how tall it would be. Those instructions were called blueprints. Liam was very proud of his mommy. He decided he was going to use his new building blocks to build a house for his baby doll as soon as he got home from school. And here's cute little Liam imagining what blueprints look like. When Liam arrived at school, he saw his neighbor Max with his mommy and daddy. "Guess what, Liam?" Max said. "I have a new baby sister," he said proudly. "Wow," Liam replied. "Can I come see your baby sister soon?" "Of course," said Max's daddy. "Where did you get the baby?" asked Liam. "My mommy and daddy made her," said Max. "Cool," said Liam. And then he began to think. Oh, Liam is so cute talking to his friend Max, and Max is holding hands with his parents, and other children are playing, and there's trees and grass, and even a bunny rabbit. Later that day, after a wonderful first day of school, Liam rushed home to play with his blocks. But he knew he had one big question he needed answered. "Mommy," he asked, "do you need a mommy and a daddy to make a baby?" "Having a mommy and a daddy is only one of many ways to make a baby," Mommy said. "What are the other ways then?" Liam asked. "Oh, many people make a baby using donors," Mommy explained, "and that is how you were made." "What is a donor?" Liam asked. "A donor is a special helper who wants to help other people grow their families," Mommy said. "How do they help?" Liam wondered. Oh, Liam's dog is running toward him, excited to see him as he comes in, and his mommy is reading a book, and the cat is listening. "You see," Mommy said, "every baby that was ever born was made by combining two tiny parts, even tinier than seeds, that are made inside the bodies of grown-ups. They are called the egg and the sperm, and some people have eggs and some people have sperm, and in order to grow my family, I needed sperm from another person. People that give their sperm are called sperm donors. When I was ready to have a baby, a doctor put the donor's sperm in my uterus. A uterus is like a cozy room right below my tummy where a baby can grow. Once the sperm came together with the egg in my body, it created a very tiny baby called an embryo. That embryo became you. You grew for many months until you were ready to be born." Aw, here's a delightful picture of Liam's mommy waiting to have a baby. The crib, the nursery, the wallpaper of bunny rabbits. Everything is just perfect for when Liam arrives. "Now," Mommy added, "every sperm and egg that come together has special instructions for how that baby will look, how tall they will grow, and where all the parts should go." "You mean like blueprints?" Liam asked. "Exactly," said Mommy. "Or maybe that we should call them U-prints." Mommy and Liam giggled. "Sometimes you need other people to help you with the blueprints. You got some of your blueprints from me and some from the sperm donor. These are the building blocks of who you are. Your hair, Liam, is the same color as your sperm donor's hair, but your eyes are the same color as mine. So even though I got some of my blueprints from a donor, my mommy is what built me," Liam said with a big smile. And here's a beautiful picture of a baby. "Yes, your donor gave me the greatest gift that anyone could ever possibly give someone. He gave me some of his blueprints to make you." Liam began to play with his blocks again. "But love is how you build a family, right, Mommy?" Liam asked. "Liam, That's right, Liam, said Mommy as she reached over and gave Liam a giant warm hug. And we can see Liam and Mommy, and they are so close, and they love each other so much. And we can definitely see the beautiful, radiant love between the two of them. Liam felt happy. He had learned that many families were just like his. Aww. And if you ever have any questions about how babies are made, Mommy added, or even have any big feelings about our family story, I will always be right by your side so that we can talk about it. And here is a gorgeous picture of all kinds of beautiful families, loving, wonderful families. They're made in all kinds of unique ways. Oh, how beautiful. I really love it. I love the fact that this book has so many wonderful multicultural, multiracial portrayals as well. You know, Liam, Mommy said, I've helped build many homes, but none as special as ours. Aw, that is absolutely so sweet. That is so beautiful. Here is Liam hugging his mother. He absolutely loves her, and she loves him. And they're hugging one another in a very warm embrace. And it's beautiful. Beautiful. Dedicated to the Jewish Fertility Foundation for their passionate work in building families one unique story at a time, with immeasurable gratitude to the donors, surrogates, medical professionals, and scientists who give so many intended parents a reason to believe in miracles. To my family and friends for their unending support over many years, aww, who were all along helping me write the story I was meant to tell. And for my most precious little girl, may your life be filled with joy and pride in not only who you are, but where you came from. And then there's a page here that says your family, where you could draw your family, or you could put pictures, a photograph of your family. You could make a collage about your family. And there's a place to put your family right in this book. Oh, I love it. It's beautiful. And one of the greatest things I see about this book is that it has a discussion guide, and it has topics, and it has things that you can actually discuss and share with one another. In these modern times, family building is no longer confined to the traditional means of the past. Families are being created with the help of cutting-edge science, and donor conception is increasingly common and more socially acceptable approach to bringing children into the world. As recipient parents, you are part of a new generation of families learning how to deal with delicate and ever-expanding topics like genetic family tree, ethnicity, and identity. Oh, how beautiful. While it is encouraged to educate your child on the uniqueness of their conception, it's also just as important to remind your child that all children have a special story to tell about how they came into being, from conception to birth and beyond. Kids are naturally curious and love to hear and learn about how they were created. This discussion guide is designed to help support the conversations you might have with your child about their story after reading Liam's story. Well, this show is all about conversations, and we have a wonderful guest to help us have a conversation about this great book and about this terrific topic. So I'll ask our guest, welcome to our show. Would you please introduce yourself to us?
Well, hello. Hi, Dawn.
Hi.
My name is Sharon Leah. And I'm the author of the 30 series book, My Donor Story. 30 series books, My Donor Story.
Well, we just enjoyed hearing Liam's blueprints, the IUI donor conception story version, and we love it. It's just beautiful. And so I'm so thankful
you're here
because we would love to hear about your journey.
I would be happy to share it. Thanks for asking, and thank you for the compliments. There's nothing, aside from loving my child, you know, it's like hearing that you love my book is basically like you're saying you're loving my baby. So I really appreciate that. It means the world to me.
Of course. Of course. So how did your journey begin?
Well, I just had no luck with dating for years and years and years and years and years. And I kind of was screaming and doing everything I could to try to not end up being one of those weird people who kind of has a kid on their own using a donor. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, to me, it was like the worst case scenario. And, you know, I did a lot of like therapy and I was like, I don't want to do this, but I haven't met the right person. And then I flipped over to the other side. I joined a Facebook group called Single Moms by Choice and met all these incredible women who were just like me, found my tribe there. And, you know, also it went from sort of being a thing that people maybe did and didn't talk about it, or you always knew some weird person that did it, to actually becoming pretty mainstream over those last years of my 30s and early 40s. And so I suddenly felt like I was actually in like a club, a community of very normal, reasonable, wonderful people who had life experiences the same way that I did, that it just didn't work out and they decided to have children on their own. And then once that, you know, that flip was switched, or that switch was flipped, now I'm going to have to listen back and see which one it is. You know, I entered that role in a more graceful, calm, determined way. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, do you want the part about how I conceived a week before, COVID?
Yeah. Wow. You know, I feel you because I'm one of those pandemic mamas too. So I'm like, you know, I literally, you know, have a child that, you know, here comes everything. So that's a little bit.
And I can't remember if you're a single mom by choice too. I couldn't remember.
No.
You're not. Okay.
I do believe and love, absolutely love and agree with that. And I think the wonderful thing about your story is that you're so transparent about it and you're willing to help other families by writing these books in order to, I don't know, I don't want to say normalize it because I think it is normal.
It isn't normalized as much as it could be, you know? I kind of think of it as like, you know, sort of one of the last frontiers socially. There's plenty of, you know, social issues that we have with acceptance. And I think Single Moms by Choice are somewhat in that club. I don't think we've had, you know, the same kind of discrimination and terrible, awful, you know, we're not talking about like a group of people who are, you know, underserved or experiencing racism or anything like that. But we are a little bit of a stigma group, I guess. But I think it is. So I think it's been normalized, but it's not normalized. So there's a lot of effort towards it, and it's getting there. But I do think we need a little more of it.
Right. Well, this is wonderful because here is exactly a big part of the help with that. You know, your book is a great way to help children to understand their conception, but I could see it being something that fertility clinics could hand out, you know, like actually share with clients.
Yeah.
You could share it with parents and grandparents, you know, people who are like, why aren't you doing this old-fashioned way or something like that, you know, as well.
Right. Yeah, no, it's true. And it's just so funny. I mean, even my parents they're very accepting and loving, and they understood the journey that I was going to take. But I still think they were sort of a little bit, you know, just like I was, a little kind of hesitant, a little kind of, like a little, okay, this is it. And now my mom, like, claims my I think she thinks that she gave birth to my daughter. And I mean that in the most, like, beautiful, wonderful way, like, not in a selfish way, like, she thinks this is her own idea. So I do think that, like, you know, once you're on the other side, you know, you do find grandparents and relatives and people generally being more supportive. Some people, they don't have that experience, and they're no more supportive on the other side than they weren't, you know, to begin with. But I do think that, like, you know, the next step to normalizing it for grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins would be books like this and things that just, it's not a big deal, but here's another way that children are made.
Yes, and always have been. You know, even in the Old Testament, right? I mean, there is Ruth and Boaz, but there's also Tamar, who has, you know, literally uses Judah as a donor. So there are lots of ways. And in indigenous communities, of course, motherhood is your choice. Motherhood is our vocation. And so when a woman decides to be a mother, we're the ones who do the prayers. We're the ones who do the songs. We're the ones who invite the children. And our husbands help. But, it's really interesting.
You opened really my eyes to a whole nother thing. And I actually, after I spoke to you about indigenous cultures, I actually created an Instagram post about it because I thought it was incredibly fascinating.
Mm-hmm. And so there's no stigma because in a matrilineal culture, all of your identity, your tribal clan, all of that comes through your mother and your grandmother.
That's amazing.
So
that's really very cool.
That there's really no way. I mean, every child is, knows who their mother is. And so it's like there just isn't the same stigma. There isn't the same question. You know,
so
every mother in indigenous culture is a mother by choice, whether you have a husband or not. It's still your
that's
decision
incredible.
And your conversation with the creator. So
I love that.
Really getting excited that the rest of the world is catching up with us.
yeah, as per usual. These ancient ideas that were always there, and we think they are our own, but they actually belong to somebody else first.
Well, I truly believe that we believe as Indigenous people that children are sacred beings, that they are actually given to us from the divine, from the creator.
I wouldn't have known exactly what you were talking about, but now that I have this incredible two-year-old, I know exactly what you mean. I just look at her all the time and I just can't.
This is part of
some kind of a spiritual plan for human beings.
It absolutely is. And
there's a reason I look at her toes and I can't get enough of them. I don't know. Why is that so cute to you? And I don't know.
I
guess I was programmed this way. I was designed.
Obsessed.
To see her toes and go crazy.
Yeah. I know. Obsessed. Really, truly. I totally understand. Toes and face to sniff my son's little head. To sniff him. He smells so good,
Yeah.
We're blessed people. We are. And so what I love about it is that we're reminding people ever so gently that every baby is a blessing. We're not going to even worry about how they get here or if it lines up with, how we think they should get here. When they're here, they are a treasured blessing. So how can
Go ahead. No. Well, I was just going to say, through what you're saying, it really is true. If you think about it, so many kids are born through, alternative means into alternative families. And all we're doing, if we focus on how they got here, is stigmatizing a child.
Mm-hmm.
A child.
Yeah.
It's not going to change the fact that people have babies unwed, people have babies, through alternative forms of conception. It doesn't change anything to punish a child. They're here, and regardless of your feelings, they were meant to be in this world for a very special purpose, and it's not for us to understand that purpose.
It's
for them to understand their own,
That's right. That's absolutely right, and I really believe this. There are many children that are born into miserable marriages or unhappy families. And so I would rather see a child born into a happy home, whatever that constellation looks like, and have a great parent that adores them than to be born into misery, and wretchedness.
Yeah, and I have yet to see a single parent by choice in the news for neglecting or abusing. I'm sure, we're human and we're the full spectrum of good and bad. But I think it's an incredibly unique. Anybody really who uses donor conception, you really, really have to go the extra mile to have that child.
Yes.
And it doesn't always work the first time. You often have to spend a great deal of your savings account.
Right.
And every child, is wanted. And even children that aren't wanted are here and we want them. The world wants them. But there is something very special about a group of people who want a child so badly, they're willing to climb every mountain and rocket up into space to create that child.
That absolutely is. And that's absolutely true. And so it's so wonderful that you've written these books. And I would like to ask you how you think single moms by choice should use your book. Like if you could follow them home and say, hey, that's this great book. What would you say or do to let's start with single moms and then we'll move on from there.
My dad is a science teacher and a doctor, and I don't think that this book is like a literary giant. Like, it's not. I do love some of the analogies and the poeticism. Is that a word?
Mm-hmm,
poetry.
Yeah.
I do love aspects of that, but really, what it is it's a tell me the facts. What are the facts? You know, what is the scientific nature of my conception? So there's plenty of beautiful books that include flowery language and angelic choruses, and, mm-hmm. and they all have a place. But mm-hmm. this is really just meant to be a replacement for the books that my mom read to me before you were a baby, which was as
right.
blunt
yeah.
and scientific as it gets. So this mm-hmm. is kind of as blunt and scientific as it gets. So I think this book is for that adjunct. This is for the when a child really wants to understand the true nature of the science behind how they were made. And you know, the commonality, at least right now, we'll see what happens in the future, but as of right now, you need a sperm and you need an egg to make a baby. And we're all alike in that we all came from a sperm and an egg.
Mm-hmm.
How the sperm and the egg came together, it's just a different scientific process, and that's it. So mm-hmm. I think this is for the science kid. This is for, obviously, it's beyond not just for the science kid, but this is that book. This is that book that is the fact.
Yeah, absolutely. And you have a variety of scenarios, donor conception scenarios.
I do.
Can you talk to us about that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the landscape is changing tremendously. Donor conception is becoming more talked about, more possible. There are more options. There's more access. And there are more methods. So, you know, double donor conception, embryo donation, things like that. I mean, they are slightly different stories. And I don't think, I think they deserve to sort of be told technically a little bit differently, because mm-hmm. children that come from, you know, an adopted embryo, or, well, some people call it adopted, some people call it donated, they may have a full biological family. And people that use, you know, double donor, they're dealing with two sets of donor siblings, not just one, versus somebody using their own egg and, you know, a donated sperm. So I feel like the nuances are important. I guess scientifically, I didn't want to leave anything unturned. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important for children to understand, even within the donor conception world, there are different ways to be made.
I love your sensitivity, even in the wonderful illustrations that you have chosen, too, that they're so inclusive. You know, there's different, you know, ethnicities and races and constellations of families, and it's all really beautiful.
Oh, you're so sweet. That's where we are right now. That's where we, luckily, there's mm-hmm. some good things that have happened in the world, and one of the really good things that's happened is we've broken open all of those awful chains of I'm you, you're me, we're different. Like, no, we're all the same. We may mm-hmm. look a little bit different. We may have a different type of interest. But we all have skin. You know, we all mm-hmm. have brains. We're all the same. And we look, and, you know, being an American, the United States, we all look very different. So maybe I wouldn't have been as inclusive if I lived in a country where everybody had the same color skin and the same color eyes and hair. But mm-hmm. my reality here is that, you know, we all are a spectrum of different beautiful skin tones, hair colors, eye color, height, weight. And it was really important for me to draw that. And my daughter is half Mexican. Mm, which mm-hmm. presents a really unique opportunity and possibly a challenge. You know, we'll find out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, while she looks like me, she also has very much darker skin, and she has a more traditionally Hispanic features. And, you know, this all stemmed from a desire to show her the world I want her to live in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she herself is a different shade than me. So being inclusive, it's like, you don't, you know, like, if you're going to write 30 books, and I should qualify that by saying they only change by character and slight adaptations in the language. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to do it for the children do it for them. These are the children of the world now.
Yes.
And these are their parents. Not every mm-hmm. egg donor is a woman anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. not every sperm donor is a man, and mm-hmm. not everybody has eggs, and not everybody has sperm. So anyway, I could go on and on and on and about it. But it's like if you're gonna write books at this point, being inclusive shouldn't even be a thought. Not being inclusive shouldn't even be a thought, you know.
Right. I mean, I thank you for saying that. I think that's so, you know, I mean, to us, it seems like it's obvious. But, you know, I appreciate every time I see it, especially in books for children, because we do want to reflect this beautiful, wonderful array of people in the world today.
Come and save her. Let her believe they get on their knees and pray hard. Then pray hard and never look back. Once the world forgave you.
The hardest thing to do at times is to make changes in your routine. Don't let that hold you back.
Wait a minute. They told us we had it all, Jordan. Well, yeah, I guess in a way we are running out of all.
I'm Rhett.
I'm Tia.
And I'm Heather.
And we are Three Voices.
You want this drum over here? It's clear. You got Gilbert over here. You got LeBron over here. And guess what? We talking about
it. I'm trying to get over the dog whistle politics thing because I can't hear it and dogs are supposed to hear it. So who hear the dog whistle?
Your opportunity is now to get up-to-the-minute information, great entertainment, and stimulating talk programs on your computer. Yes, I said your computer. Just log on to TalkTainmentRadio.com. Click Listen Live to hear a program. The blogs and podcasts are up and running. TalkTainmentRadio.com can also be heard on your cell phone.
Yes, I said cell phone.
TalkTainment Radio. We go where you go.
When you take your car in for an oil change, a good mechanic will also take care of other routine maintenance to make sure your car runs safely and efficiently. Protecting your health isn't much different. When you get a COVID-19 vaccine, it's important to make sure you're also protected from other serious but preventable diseases. It's easy and convenient to get other routine vaccines at the same time as a COVID-19 vaccine. So make sure you ask a healthcare professional about other vaccines you may need to maintain your health.
Hey, it's me, your cell phone. We need to talk about something. Something serious. I know you love me. I know you like using me wherever you are. But I feel like this isn't working out when you're driving. I know you may think that it's possible to focus both on me and the road. But I just don't feel the same way. I think we should spend time away from each other when you're driving. It's for the best.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
What do you think you're doing, Kevin?
I was just going to drive home.
There are several warning signs present that you shouldn't be driving.
Like hearing voices?
Like your text to emoji ratio?
Oh, man, the selfies.
Selfie nailed it.
We all have warning signs that let us know that we're probably not okay to drive. Mine is pretending to be your subconscious.
Craig, come on, man, let's put a ride home.
I'm looking at this book, and I had a chance to read it to our friends at the beginning of the show, and it's just so warm and loving at every point. How are you going to present this book to your own daughter, or the version that pertains to her?
So I'm going to be totally honest. I read it to her right away.
Okay.
And then one day, so she's 2.5, so I read it to her around, I think I published it for the first time in like November, December. And then I was listening to my mom read it to her, and I was like, I don't know if I want my daughter hearing about sperm and egg and talking about it with all her friends. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, and not that she has somebody for her, she's 2.5. So I pulled back, and I was like, I think I'm going to bring this back out when she's like 4. Mm-hmm. And then I think I've changed my tune again, and I'm going to start reading it to her. Mm-hmm. You know, it depends on the child. Oh my gosh, I literally like do not remember specifically what I'm answering. How am I reading the book to my child and when?
Yeah. How are you sharing your very own book with your child?
Yeah, you know, it's I think like I want to say that I am also not black and white. And some days I'm more into like, let's talk about sperm and eggs. And some days I'm like, let's wait till she's four. And then some days I revert back. And that's okay. You know, it's when you have books on your shelves, you don't always have to indulge in them all at the same time. You can come back to it. You can introduce it and then come back around later. She may be obsessed with it. You know, it's not going anywhere. It's there for her, but she is very young. The reason I wanted to read it to her is I have some other books. One of them, and they're both great. One of them, I didn't think the illustrations were quite vibrant enough. They were a little more cartoony. Mm-hmm. And not as diverse. The other book, what was it about the other book? Oh, the woman was really sad before she had kids. And I don't want my daughter to feel like she has to be sad if she doesn't have kids.
Mm-hmm.
She can choose to have kids. She can choose not to have kids. If she is having frustrations with having kids, it's still okay to be sad.
Mm-hmm.
But don't make the assumption that somebody is sad because they don't have kids. So that was like, you know, so I felt like I wanted to just write something that was like very much for her the way I would exactly tell her. So it's there and we'll come in and out of it, you know, and maybe one day I'll be a little more squeamish about it and the next day I won't. But ultimately, telling early, telling often, not letting them have an opportunity to find out some kind of a secret or big reveal, that's really my goal. So if you're the kind of parent that wants to wait till your kid's 4 or 5 to talk about sperm and egg, or if you want to do it and then back away, or if you want to do it often, you know, you can kind of, I think this book is for age 0 to, you know, to 7 or so, till they sort of outgrow some of the, you know, the way that the parents talk to the child and some of this more tender language. It really just depends on the person. Even me. It depends on the hour for me.
Mm-hmm. Do you have plans to write additional books?
I do. I'll probably move. So I actually wrote a book about 5 years ago. Was it 5 years ago? Somewhere along that, maybe a little longer, about the Tooth Fairy. And I ended up turning it into an audiobook and publishing it on YouTube. It's called Gabriel's Tooth Fairy Tale.
Mm-hmm.
I was just very curious about what happened to all the teeth once the Tooth Fairy took them, and I wasn't satisfied with any answers, so I needed to know for myself. So a friend of mine and I like sat down and kind of devised the answer, which was very satisfying. I'm actually going to finally be putting that into a paperback. We're rewriting it a little bit. It was a little bit long. We're going to finish up some more of the illustrations and release that probably in the fall. And I think this is probably it right now for donor conception. I have some wacky, interesting other ideas. I'm writing a book about all the weird things that the body does that are rather gross. So I kind of like doing it the indie way. I don't know. I just feel like being a content creator is more satisfying for me right now than trying to go the traditional publishing route.
Mm-hmm.
I like having the control and being able to sort of develop my own audience and get to know people and come in from the inside versus as an outsider into the publishing industry. So I will probably do this next book the exact same way. Maybe I'll scale up and you know, do some, you know, hardcover. But yes, this was like the first thing I needed to write. And now I want to, the most important thing I needed to write. And now comes more of the fun stuff. Not that this wasn't fun, but now comes the silly stuff. And I feel like I've been able to get my message about donor conception into the world. And now I just want it to hopefully make a difference and make it easier for parents to celebrate all that beauty.
Mm-hmm. And you have done that so wonderfully well. You know,
thank you so much, Dawn.
I'm really grateful.
Thanks to me.
Very grateful for you because I love that you have helped parents. Like these books help parents and they help the children to really just rejoice and enjoy the great miracle of having a family. And I am really grateful that you were willing to do it. It's a very brave and courageous thing to write about.
Oh, thank you.
You know? But I'm also
so kind.
Super happy. I mean, I can't even tell you the words that you did not let anyone else steal your joy or defeat your destiny. And I think what I see so often, you know, I see young ladies that are, you know, just waiting for some guy to come around,
yeah,
or to value and treasure them as they deserve. And I don't believe that any of us should miss out on the joy of having the family that we want. You know, if you
I totally agree.
You know, don't, you know, some guy on an app should not control your destiny, whether you get to be a mother or not.
You know? And if only I had realized that like 5 to 10 years sooner, so I could spend my time with siblings. But well, yeah, I mean, there was no question. I mean, I felt not everybody feels they have to carry a child. It's entirely normal to not want to carry a child or even parent a child. But I was like, okay, I have this body that is capable of creating life.
Yeah.
And so you're telling me that just because dating didn't work out, I can't experience that miracle? Like,
right,
what other
right.
miracles are there to experience?
Yeah, right.
Again, that was my, I want to be really specific that not everybody feels that way, and that's okay. Some people think pregnancy is disgusting. But for me, I didn't want to be on my deathbed
right.
not knowing the spiritual transformation I can have in this lifetime. It was
right.
just, so I put blinders on. I did, yeah, I mean, I will say it was a little bit brave because I, never really wanted to be part of a judged group,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and mm-hmm. I am now, you know, so I don't think about it very often. I hope that I can normalize it and that I can surround myself with people who aren't judging it, but to knowingly put yourself in a judged category, you have to really want something badly enough.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that was, mm-hmm. that was the experience of the transformative experience of birth, which, by the way, my birth was awful.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It was like, I mean, I still am glad I experienced it, you know, but I'm like, that was not transformative. That was disgusting, exhausting, and traumatizing.
Well, that is transformative, just not.
Yeah, but still, I wanted to know, and I know, uh-huh. and that can never be taken away from me again. And for
yeah.
that, it was incredible.
Yes, and you know what? I just think that people are going to judge you anyway. Like, I really believe that. Like, if not
they
for
sure.
that, then for something,
absolutely.
You know? I mean, there are
You're
people who are married
right.
and they're in a relationship and people are judging the partner that they've chosen. There's people that...
Absolutely.
You know? And
yes, you're always... I'm sure... Yes, you're absolutely right. There's nothing you can do. If you
mm-hmm.
don't have a house as nice as your neighbor's, they're going to judge your house. And
yeah.
if you don't have as much money or if you have too much money, or you're right. You can't... That's such a good point. You cannot escape judgment. So do your life. Do your life in a way that you feel like you're alive.
Yes.
And
please.
Anything less than that, you're choosing to be a little, I don't want to be dramatic, but like, you're a little bit dead if you're not a little bit alive.
Oh, I think you are. And you know, we battled with infertility, and all I ever wanted to do was be someone's mother. Like, that was it. Like, I was
yes.
in preschool, and it was like, what do you want to be when you grow
Same.
Up? You know?
Same.
And
yeah.
so we battled with that, and it was awful, and people judge that. They're like, what does
totally.
That have to do with us? And then God gave us
yeah.
a miracle. Just, we just got a miracle.
Incredible.
So, here you go. Here's a miracle. Just, you know, it was divine intervention, and it was a miracle. And so I'm
yeah.
a mother. But I thought,
Amazing.
You know, I felt so judged during that. You know, I was like, you know, this
I
isn't
know.
My fault,
I
you know.
know? Yeah, and I think that's the bottom line, is there's just different ways to accomplish
Absolutely.
The same exact thing.
Absolutely.
Like, are you going to judge someone because their pancreas doesn't work right?
Right,
or
exactly.
because they
you
have headaches? Or, no, you don't, you're just like, oh, their body works a little bit differently. They're just sort
right.
of at a disadvantage, I guess, in that right. But what's also amazing coming out on the other end is like, the advantage of infertility, the advantage of gender conception.
Yeah.
And obviously that would be a big philosophical, you know, discussion because I wouldn't want to invalidate anybody going through the pain and suffering. And many people would say, no, there was no advantage. But for me, learning to be brave is an advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Would I wish for infertility on somebody? Of course not. But if you can come on the other side with, you know, with your blessing, you know,
mm-hmm.
in your arms, then you will, I believe that there are advantages to be had. And being a single mom, there's advantages. People,
of course. Of course.
People always, you know, I mean, I have had not one marital argument in front of my child.
Right. Yeah, right.
I have not had any arguments about money. Mm-hmm. I have not actually had to ask anybody if I can do this or that in the whole time I've been a mom. Nobody, not one single person has had to give me permission. You know, so there are advantages to this process, whether it's personal growth or whether it's just like logistical life. And that's a gift also.
I was struggling with something one day, and I told my brother about it, and he said, well, do you want to go through the door, or do you want to get in the room? And I thought...
To get in the what?
Get in the room.
Uh-huh,
and I
right.
said, what are you talking... What? Are you even listening to my problems? I'm telling you so dramatically, right? And he said, well, yeah, I mean, if you want to go through the door, then yeah, you're having some trouble with the door. But if you want to get in the room, if you just want to get in the room, there's a lot of ways to get in the room. You can tear the roof off. You can knock
that.
A wall down. You can burrow underground and come up.
Amazing. Oh, that's fantastic. I love that.
And so that's the thought I have as we have this conversation, that we're not telling you what to do. We're not telling anybody this is what you should do and the only way you should do it. But we're saying that if this is a desire of your heart, you want to be a parent, whatever that means to you, there are lots of ways to get into that room.
Yeah, that is so true. And just because you're not going through the door or you don't have access mm-hmm. or the door is locked doesn't make you less or more. It just makes you, it's like if you turn left or right in your car, should you be judged for that? No.
Right. Yeah.
Sometimes
right.
you turn right and if you keep turning right, you end up, you know, on the other side of the circle. Or is it if you keep turning left? But you know what I'm saying? Like you end up back in the same place. And, you know, maybe somebody had to travel a little bit further or go a circuitous route.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
mm-hmm.
they stopped along the way and saw something beautiful.
Yeah.
But the,
yeah.
the car that you know, didn't have to travel so far, didn't get to see.
And we never know. We just never know. We're not going to know everything.
Yeah.
Because we're not
right.
God, so we're not going to know. And so one of the things that, you know, we never know what the real bigger picture plan is. We,
correct.
You know, that when I met my son, I gave birth to him, and I met him, and I was so happy to see him, and I said, I've waited my whole life to meet you, you know?
Yeah.
And he kissed me.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, this is perfect. It doesn't matter
oh.
what happened before. It doesn't matter what didn't happen. It doesn't
no.
matter the timing anymore.
Correct.
The important
yeah.
thing is he personally is worth the wait to me.
Yes, that is so true. That is so true.
So I love this. I love this conversation because I feel like we're going to set some people free, you know, that people are going to
sure hope so.
Feel more power, you know,
yeah.
fertility preservation, donor conception, fertility treatments, adoption, whatever it is you want to do that will help make your dream come true, we want you to have a happy family, whatever that means
yeah.
to you. Whatever that means.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You've re-inspired me, actually.
Good.
You know, getting to talk about why I wrote the books and what it all means, and even just being honest with, like, days that I feel like maybe she's too young for it. Like, just kind of reliving all that just brings
mm-hmm.
me to a very real place and a very sort of spiritual connection, I guess, with what it was all about, you know,
yes.
versus just, you know, I don't know. I wrote some books because I felt like the story needed to be told. Like, no, you're right. There was such a bigger force behind it. It has everything to do with the years leading up, and it still has power in just talking about the books now. So I thank you for that. It's really refreshing and interesting to be introspective at the end of that journey of writing those books.
Mm-hmm.
Like
it
maybe
really
it's,
is.
Maybe it's just the beginning, you know?
Yeah, and I feel like it is the beginning for you. I feel like you'll write
no,
many more books, you'll write, you know, I would love to see these books become animated as a special or a streaming special, you know, where families
I've actually
watch.
Thought about that because
mm-hmm.
I'm in the entertainment industry.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, you know, what should I exactly do with it? Because we don't really have any donor conceived characters anywhere
no.
that I've seen. So that is one of the things I'm thinking about is like, what is that? You know, I mean, I don't know that we need a cartoon specifically about someone who's donor conceived because it's like,
no.
in a way that doesn't normalize
no.
it. It's almost like drawing attention, but like
right.
maybe the books come alive a little bit. Maybe
yeah.
I do an audiobook version of them. I'm not really sure what that all looks like yet, but I do think like, And that's why, I don't know if you know that on my website, I actually have an art section where people can print out the pictures of the kids. And when I say the kids, there's a child, there's a boy and a girl for each 5 family types.
Okay.
So there's single moms by choice, there's moms and dads, there's 2 dad families, single dad families, and 2 mom families. And for each one, there is a boy and a girl character that fronts the book, and then each book is then divided into conception types. So these characters, there's 10 total. That has to be right. Yes, I believe. There's 10 total. And on the website, you can either print out a full color picture of them, or you can print out a coloring book version and color in their character. So if a child identifies with one of the characters in the book, they can go have a little bit of fun with art. That's sort of my stepping stone to maybe what, you know, what you were talking about, like, does something come next?
Oh, that's beautiful. So please tell us, what is that website?
It's mydonorstory.com.
Aww.
And I wanted to be specific that, like, the donor conception adult community is very specific about it not being, it's not a child's donor, it's a parent's donor, mm-hmm. but it is their donor story.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. And so how do we get these books? Maybe we want to share them with someone in our lives, you know, maybe we want to, I would love to see doctors and clinics actually stock up on these books and have them ready for their
patients.
I think
you need to be my agent. So we'll talk about that after. I would love to see that too. And actually, I released one more version today that I wrote with the Jewish Fertility Foundation, which is the organization that helped me have my child. And we used the same illustrations. We took donor conception out of it and did just a book for Jewish families using IVF. Obviously,
wonderful.
It's for any family. The only thing that makes it Jewish is the father is wearing a yarmulke, mm-hmm. you know, but it's a book for families just using IVF, not mm-hmm. even with donor conception. But the books are all on Amazon. If you search My Donor Story, you'll see a lot of them. If you want an easier way to figure it out, if you go to My Donor Story and you click on the books, it will basically say, like, which, you know, pick your family type. Are you 2 moms? Are you mom, dad? And then it will take you down to your options. And then it will you can click on the specific book on Amazon.
Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, that's terrific. That is wonderful.
It's kind of hard to organize, but I think I've done it. But obviously,
if
anyone that's listening wants to send feedback about something that makes more sense or could be easier, you know, I don't want it to be just this collection of like, wait, what? Where do I go? Which one is ours? Which kid is ours? Trying to make it simple. But yeah, they're on Amazon. They're only on Amazon right now. And I'm not sure whether I'll expand to Barnes & Noble and, you know, Target and other libraries. I have to kind of think about that. But right now they're sitting happily on Amazon waiting for all the people who are ready to talk about donor conception with their children.
Oh, that's wonderful. That is terrific. I want to hand you the mic for a few moments, and I'm going to ask you if you could speak directly to our friends who are considering this. They are thinking about having a family, and they're going to do it in this wonderful, wonderful way.
Are these proverbial friends, or are these real friends?
Our friends that are listening. We have folks out there.
Friends that are listening.
150 countries, all 50 states of the United States.
Amazing.
Somebody out there.
Amazing.
Somebody out there right now is considering this, or they're thinking maybe this is a path, or maybe they want a family, and, you know, swiping right and left just isn't working, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So
first of all, find your tribe. So, mm-hmm. you know, donor conception has been around for a long time in lesbian couples. So if you are in that world and you're looking to be a 2-mom family, find your group of people. Maybe you need to start hanging out with people who have had kids and use donor conception. Mm-hmm. Same thing with 2 dads. You know, find somebody who has used surrogacy to have their child with an egg donor or even without an egg donor. Some traditional surrogacy is without an egg donor. If you're in the single mom, you know, thinking stage, join single moms trying to conceive groups. So I think first you got to find your tribe because your tribe will normalize it and there'll also be people who are in your boat, also people who will be on the other side and telling you it's the best thing that they've ever done. And that allows you to go through it with a little more faith. And that's what worked for me. I thought, you know, anytime I had a doubt, I thought pretty much everyone says this is the best thing they ever did.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to probably feel the same way. I'm pretty much human. I won't regret it. I'll certainly regret not having a child. So
yes.
I would say, like, the most important thing is to find your tribe, because they will sort of stabilize some of that erratic emotion that can go on when you're going through a challenging time. And then, obviously, you know, along with your tribe, talk it out with somebody, a fertility therapist. That's always an option. You know, and look for resources. There's a lot of resources now. The Jewish Fertility Foundation is a big one. Jana Rupnow, who's a therapist who specializes in adoption and donor conception, follow her on Instagram. There's a world that you didn't know existed that's mm-hmm. ready for you. Mm-hmm. We're here. And even me, if you have any questions and you want to reach out to me, I'm happy to be a guide or answer questions. But ultimately, at the end of the day, if you want to be a parent, there's many different ways to do it. Mm-hmm. Not one is bigger or better than the other. They're just different.
Mm-hmm. That is beautiful. Thank you for sharing that with us, because, you know, someone told me once that if you're trying to decide if you should have children or not, that you should picture yourself at Thanksgiving dinner when you're elderly. Who do you want to see around the table?
Right.
Do you want to eat by yourself, or do you want to be eating with children and grandchildren and a extended family? What's in your heart?
Right.
And you've really helped us to see a way of making the dreams in folks' hearts come to pass. You know, sometimes it's in our heart and we need a little help to get it out into
yes.
the world. So please tell us again,
yeah.
one more time, how we get these books, how we find your website, you know, and how we connect with you. There's folks out there who really need these books for themselves or for someone that they love.
Absolutely. MyDonorStory.com is probably the simplest way that'll lead you to the right page. And then Amazon.com. Just search My Donor Story. It is available on other marketplaces. So Amazon.au, Amazon.co.uk, Amazon.ca in Canada. So if you're having trouble finding it, message me. I will obviously be delighted to help you find one of these books. And also just want to say kudos to the other authors who have written about donor conception. Their books are valuable, worthy, and beautiful in different ways. And I hope that we all together become a tapestry of books on your bookshelf that will support your journey.
It's magnificent. Really, really. I believe that this conversation was divinely inspired. And I truly
I have to agree. I appreciate where it led me. And I again can't thank you enough for loving my babies being my book.
Yes.
I'm sure you would love my daughter if you met her too. But right
Absolutely.
Now, in the context of this conversation, there's just nothing better than somebody than all you've given me. I mean, even before this conversation, when we spoke before, I mean, I'm ecstatic to feel that it's landed and offered something to the world.
Yes. Oh, how wonderful. Well, we have loved everything that you've shared with us. We've loved every moment of this conversation. And I know that our friends who are listening and our friends who have heard you today are cheering you on, just like I am.
Oh, I appreciate it. And I'm cheering them on too.
Yes. Well, thank you to all of you who listen to this show and everyone who makes this show possible. You know, this is a labor of love. And all of you who sponsor, who donate, who share, who listen, who share us on social media, who are part of this conversation every week, we are so grateful to you, and we're grateful for you, and we're grateful that we've had another wonderful conversation. My name is Dr. Dawn Karima, and I'm thankful for you. See you next time.
Yeah, oh Lord, can you come and save her? Better believe they get on their knees and pray hard. They pray hard and never look back once the world forgave you. She is silent, she's king, oh Lord. She is silent, she's king.
Yeah, oh Lord, can you come and save her? Better believe they get on their knees and pray hard. They pray hard and never look back once the war forgave.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. Talktainmentradio.com.